I want to ask Dave to just very briefly comment. Actually, this is Greg's paper, so you can comment on what you thought about it.
Yeah, I love critiquing Dr. Riley.
Yeah, you can critique his paper, and then we'll see what he said about it. Oh, here's the case. Yeah, Ram had the case related to your second paper. So just this first.
Yeah, sure. So Dr. Riley's group, I think, was looking at an important issue, and that is, we've recognized, Mark had pointed out earlier, that T790 is the most common acquired mutation that is responsible for resistance to drugs like erlotinib and gefitinib, perhaps 50% of our patients who ultimately progress. Greg was interested in wondering, what is the prevalence of that same mutation de novo, so patients who have not been exposed to a TKI where that may have been selected for or acquired, how common is it, and then how do those patients do on drugs like erlotinib in overall? And so it's challenging to do a study like that prospectively. Greg's group looked retrospectively at cases they had at Sloan Kettering and were able to identify about 20 patients that had de novo T790 mutations. This was in the presence of another EGFR activating mutation. Actually, most commonly, this was the L858R mutation it was associated with. Small number of patients that we're talking about. I think Greg discovered that this represented about less than 1% of all the patients they had in their database that had EGFR mutations who had both mutations at diagnosis. What was somewhat frustrating was that when you looked at how these patients did with drugs like erlotinib, and I believe of the 11 patients, 8 received erlotinib as first-line therapy, there was only one response among those 11 patients. So even patients who had activating mutations, if they had a de novo T790 mutation, the chance of a response was quite low. And I think that was one of the themes of Greg's paper, was that not only is this not a common event for us to discover with standard sequencing methods, but the chances of those patients benefiting from drugs like erlotinib, gefitinib, and maybe afatinib is probably pretty low. And that's something that may be important in clinical decision making if you discover a T790 mutation at diagnosis. I'm not aware of any larger data set, Greg, looking at this issue.
So there are a fair number of series actually that look at this, but the key difference is we looked at it in the context of routine clinical testing, you know, what we actually test our patients with in a standard way. And I think what you highlighted is that we didn't see it very often. But the series that have been published looking retrospectively at collections of tumors or using different techniques that are more high sensitivity techniques is sometimes people find the rate of T790M at baseline 20, 30, 40%, which didn't jive with what we were seeing. And I think that's why I wanted to get that out there.
So at this point, have you discussed, you know, sort of a divergent algorithm for patients like this, a trial algorithm? What are you doing with these patients now?
So I think the response rate that David quoted, 1 in about 8, is what we see. And I think what that tells me is that I shouldn't be using erlotinib up front in these folks, because that 1 out of 8 response rate is less than I'd get with chemotherapy. But, you know, it's not 0% response rate, and so it's reasonable to consider a trial of this in the second and third line setting before you say that it's just not viable.
I guess there's always CO1686.
Well, certainly trials with the T790M targeted agents.
And their responses have been observed, but it's not up front.
Those haven't been most of the patients who go on the trial. I think there might be a rare one or two.
It's worth pointing out in your small data sets is the fact that your patient that actually had the response had the worst survival, one of the worst survivals, and some of your patients that had early progression actually lived beyond 2 years.
Right.
So just pointing out that other therapies might work well.